Good morning, and welcome to each one of you again. This morning I chose to look at the life of Nehemiah. He had some character traits in his life that helped make a difference in getting the walls of Jerusalem built in 52 days versus the task seeming so big that they had sat in a pile of rubble for 70 years since the temple was complete. And, in the end, when it was complete, the enemies knew that it was of God that this happened, and that it was nothing else other than that. So the story of Nehemiah starts out as him being the king's cupbearer in Shushan the palace. And this was about 142 years after that Jerusalem had fallen when Nebuchadnezzar came in and captured them and took them off to Babylon, which is, Nathaniel made mention of that this morning. And when they were in Babylon, it was about 50 years until King Cyrus allowed Zerubbabel and any of the Jews that wanted to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And at that time, about 49,987 Jews went along to go rebuild the temple. And so it was about a 23-year time period that it took to get the temple built. And during that time, they faced much opposition. And the enemy got them halted for about 15 years. And after they'd been halted for a good while, Haggai, he was a prophet, he got them inspired to start the work again because they had just got sidetracked and focusing on other things instead of the temple. And so about 13 years before Nehemiah here is when Ezra had gone to Jerusalem. And he had taken about 4,000 or 5,000 people with him, and he brought a spiritual establishment to the community there at Jerusalem. So Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, and some people came to visit, and from Jerusalem, Hanani, his brother, and certain men, and he asked them how things are in Jerusalem, and they said that there's great affliction and reproach, and that the walls are broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And this really burdened Nehemiah and made him sad. And he wept and he mourned and he prayed and he fasted, and he was seeking God about this. And it was about a 4-month period. And then the king asked him one time when he was the cupbearer, so he asked him, "Hey, why are you so sad?" And he said that, well, he was scared because the king noticed that he was sad, but he says, "Well, how can I not be sad when Jerusalem is in the state it is, and it's the home of my father's sepulchers?" And it would have been possibly Nehemiah's great-grandparents that would have been brought from Jerusalem into Babylon, since it was about 142 years earlier. And so the king said to him, "Well, what's your request to me?" So at that moment, Nehemiah thought, and he was like, he prayed to God, and he says, and he told him, "Well, send me to go rebuild the walls." So the king said that he could go and to tell him a time when he'll return. So they agreed on a time when he would return, and the king gave him a letter that he can get timber from the king's forest, and he went to Jerusalem. And it was about a 900-mile trek from Babylon to Jerusalem. And that would have been quite a journey. So after he got there, it was about 3 days, and he didn't tell anybody what his plans were, why he was coming. But when he showed up, Sanballat and Tobiah they were not impressed at all that he came to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. And Nehemiah just kept it quiet for a little bit. And then after 3 days, him and a couple men went out and scouted the wall out at night. And after they saw the conditions of the wall and saw what needed done, he met with the rulers and he told them what God had placed in his heart and that they need to get these walls rebuilt. And he told them that the king would supply timber and stuff, and they together agreed that, yes, this needs done. They said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And they got started. Some people worked on gates. Some people worked on different sections of the wall. All the families worked in different areas. And this here, once it started, the enemy really got roused up. And they started Sanballat. He was the governor of Samaria. And so he was wroth and he was very upset that they were building this walls. And he spake to his armies and he says, What do these feeble Jews, and why do they fortify themselves? And will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? And Tobiah was there and he was like, oh, even a fox, if that goes up against their wall, it'll just break down their stone wall. And they were just mocking them and trying to discourage them. And Nehemiah just cried out to God through this, and that God would turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey of the land of captivity, these people that were coming and scorning them, mocking them. And as they saw the people continuing to build and that they're making progress, and they got the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were going up and that the breaches were getting closed, and then they were just really upset and they thought, we better get a plan together to get this stopped. And so they were going to go up against them and fight them. And Nehemiah and the people found out about it, so they had half of the people stand in guard against the enemy, because there was lots of rubble and things there. And whenever the enemy would come, they would blow a trumpet and gather the people together to that area, and they would fight off the enemy. And so they were able to continue the progress and continue the work. And in chapter 5 of Nehemiah, they had some issues with some of the people having lots of debt and getting charged lots of interest, and they were being suppressed, oppressed. And so Nehemiah dealt with that, and they kept on building. And when they saw that when the wall was built, and they still had gates to hang and stuff, the enemy was getting desperate, and they came over and they asked Nehemiah to come out and meet them in the in the plain. And but Nehemiah, he didn't listen to them. It was in the plain of Ono, and he sent messengers back instead and said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? And then they sent four times more messengers to ask this again. And then Sanballat, he even came up and said that, hey, we're going to tell the king that you're rebelling and that you're going to set yourself up as king in Judah. And he thought maybe that would pull him out. But he still did not go out. And then they tried another trick, and they asked him to come into the temple. They said, because somebody's going to slay you. And he perceived that was not of God either. So through all these things that came against him, in 52 days, they were able to get the wall and the gates built. And so I'd just like to go back and look at a few things from this, from Nehemiah. So the first thing that stood out to me was his reliance on God, and how that when he saw the conditions of the wall, and in verse 4 it says, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven." And that was his response. And then he goes on to remind God of his promises to Moses. And he said that you said that you'll scatter us if we transgress, but you'll bring us back together if we turn back to you. And we're turning back to you. And just throughout the story, he was constantly relying on God. And so that stood out to me. And God, he is still the same today as he was back in the Bible times. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And as I think of even modern times, of someone more recently that had some big things that they were needing reliance on God for. I think of George Mueller. He had built the orphan house, and he relied on God for his help, and he didn't make his needs known to anybody except to God in prayer, and God supplied needs for over 10,000 orphans, and he had built 5 orphan houses, and he had provided Christian education for 120,000 people, and that's a... He had wanted to do this to show people that God is still the same today as he was back then. And there's stories all through the Bible and all through our time today of people that rely on God, and God is there and helps them when they're in their times of need. And so the other thing that stood out to me is how much perseverance that Nehemiah had. So he had lots of opposition. Lots of people tried to come and stop this work that was going on. And Nehemiah 2:19. You know, they came and they laughed us to scorn. They despised us and said, "What is this thing that he do? Why will he rebel against the king?" And Nehemiah responded, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us, and therefore we, his servants, will rise and build." And when they came up and fought against him, they would have had lots of reason to just give up and get discouraged, because this was a really big project. The wall was 30 to 50 feet high in some places and 8 to 16 feet wide. So it was not an easy task. And it had sat this way a long time. They had tried before to rebuild, but the enemy had stopped them. And a person that it's easy for us sometimes when we face things in our life. It's it looks really big and we get discouraged and we want to give up. And I had heard a story about Teddy Roosevelt of his persistence, and I just thought I'd share that story. On October 4th, 1912, Teddy Roosevelt was shot from about 5 feet away. He had gone to Wisconsin to give a speech, and the crowd was on either side of him, and he had stood up in his car to wave to the people. And when he did that, someone was there and from about 5 feet away shot him right in the chest. And he immediately, the security pounced on this guy and got him. And he, Teddy Roosevelt, told him, hey, bring him over to me. And he had asked him, why did you do this? And he didn't respond. But then they wanted to take Teddy Roosevelt to the hospital right away. And he didn't want to go because he first had coughed a couple times. And he was like, the bullet didn't penetrate his lungs because no blood came out. And so he had about a dime-sized hole in his chest. But he went on and did his speech, even though he had been shot, and he said, friends, I shall ask you to be as quiet as possible. I don't know whether you fully understand that I've just been shot, but it takes more than that to kill a bull moose. And so that was his response to his adversity. And it just made me think of, you know, sometimes as we're going through life, we think of our spiritual journey or something. The devil brings a little something up, and we right away we give up, and we don't, you know, in and of ourselves, we don't have strength to do it of ourselves. But with God's help, here we see Teddy Roosevelt, how he was like a bull moose. And later on in his speech, he says, I give you my word, I do not care a rap about being shot, not a rap. And he was just, I guess he was just more concerned about charging ahead. So he went ahead and spoke for an hour with a bullet in his chest. And, you know, may we have that same resilience against the enemy when he comes to try to shut us down and to stop us. And we see that resilience in Nehemiah and the people there, that they were not going to give up. And whatever comes in your life or in my life, if the devil tries to stop us, may we have that resilience where we're just like, we're going ahead. Whatever steps that God shows you to take in life, may we take that. And also, it stood out to me at how the discernment that Nehemiah had, because of the enemy was coming up against them. Different times they would come and say, hey, meet with us. And like in my mind, I'm thinking, why didn't they just get rid of Sanballat and Tobiah? But I guess they were rulers in the area. They were friends in the area. He was connected there, and you know, he was he kept trying to trick Nehemiah, and if Nehemiah would have done what they wanted, it's a very good chance that the work could have been stopped, because they could have killed him. They could have started going in circles, and the work could have been halted. And in the thought of being discerning and sensing when something's not right, there's a cuckoo bird. It's in Europe, and I don't know, you might be familiar with a cuckoo clock. But those birds, they don't lay their eggs in their own nest. They don't build their own nest, and they don't raise their young. But rather, they go and lay their eggs in a reed warbler's nest. There's different kinds of cuckoo birds. So some of them lay them in different birds. Some of them lay them in the redstart nests. So some of them are white with brown speckles to match to match in with the reed warbler's nest. They spot a nest that is being built, and when they get some eggs laid there, they'll, when the mom bird flies away, they'll fly over there and just grab an egg, gulp it down, and pop in the nest and lay an egg real quick, and their eggs are a little extra thick shell so that they don't break if they lay their eggs quick. And they're just a little bit bigger. And so when the mama bird comes back and to her nest, they did studies on these birds, and about 12% of the birds sense that something just isn't right. And they'll go peck that egg, peck it until they get a hole in it, get some protein out of that egg, and get rid of the shell. The other 20% of birds comes back, and they sense that something's not right. They're not sure what it is, so they just abandon the nest and go start over somewhere. But then there's about 67% of the birds that come back, and they never realize that something happened. They just sit on those eggs, and the cuckoo bird egg hatches in 12 days, so it hatches quicker than the other eggs. And so when that little baby bird hatches, it's blind and it's naked, but it has in its mind to get rid of all the other eggs. So immediately within like 24 hours, it starts pushing out all the eggs out of the nest. And even with the mama bird sitting on top of it, it's there shoving around trying to get all the other eggs out. And when it does that, then it's just crying constantly. So the mama bird and the daddy bird, they're coming and feeding it, and it actually has a voice that sounds like multiple chicks. So it's just constantly crying. The mom and dad are just busy feeding this one chick, and it'll grow in a very short time to about 13 inches, which is much bigger than the reed warbler. And in that way, these birds come in and they steal their eggs, they kill their young, and they just wreak havoc. And then the mom and dad are busy feeding this baby, and it's grown big as a chicken about. And it's just, it's sort of like what the devil wants to do to our life. He wants to come in, and he wants to trick us, and we don't realize he's there, but next thing we know, someone overtook our space, the space that God wanted. And so God, he wants to give you and me discernment so we can be like that 12% of the reed warblers, that we can sense when something's not right, when the devil is trying to sneak into our life. When Sanballat came and was telling Nehemiah this or telling him that to come to the temple, instead of doing it, he could sense that this wasn't of God, and thus the work kept going. The devil is going to try to come into my life or into your life and try to stop us from accomplishing what he placed in our heart. We could be trying to battle a giant in our life. We can be, we might have a mountain that's there, and the devil's going to try to bring anything he can into my life and into your life to stop us, so that we do the same as the Jews did after they got the temple built. They should have just kept on building on the walls, but instead it looked such a big task, they just didn't have the strength to keep going with all the opposition. And so may God give each one of us just a reliance on him in any challenges, difficulties we go through, giants we face. And may we have that perseverance where we just keep going, even when the going is tough. And may God give us good discernment to sense when the devil tries to come in. And he wants to do that if we spend time with him and connect with him. So that's all I have to share.